Hi, everyone. It's Dr. Denise. This is the Dr. Denise Show. This is the last episode of the year of Embrace Your Neurostyle and Beyond. And I'm so excited. I have Jake Myers back with me. Jake, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks for having me on your last episode of the year. I'm honored.
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you. And you know, everyone, Jake is on the front lines of mental health, as am I. And Jake, even just scheduling this show for us, I think you and I modeled to one another what we would tell anyone at this time of year to do: self-care, and more self-care, right?
Totally. I think like the very topic that we wanted to cover today actually was like occurring in real time when we were scheduling this interview. And at first, I wasn't really feeling it. I was feeling overwhelmed when we had scheduled the interview. And it was just like, there was too much on my plate. I wasn't feeling my best self. And I asked you, instead of sort of people pleasing and saying, you know, I'll do it, I'll suck it up, I asked you if we could reschedule. You said, of course, I want this to work for both of us. And then we rescheduled, and then the same thing happened with you, and it wasn't the right day for you. And both of us took care of ourselves and found a time that was great for both of us.
Yeah. And I think, you know, this concept of embrace your neurostyle, the concept is self-love and knowing yourself, what your limits are moment to moment with your feelings, thoughts, and actions, whether or not you ever need to go, like you ever choose to do therapy or seek help. One of the things you and I are both passionate about is how do people get there? How do they have an awareness of their feelings? And I think, you know, that day when you were deciding to switch, for me personally, I would say at a younger time in my career, I think this is also kind of age overlay, right? I was more into just the show must go on, sucking it up, frenetic energy. So do you also believe that our inner knowing of how to take care of ourselves evolves over time?
Yes, I think it gets louder and louder and we start to pay more attention to it. I think it can be like just a little glimmer sometimes earlier in our life, especially when we're trying to prove ourselves, we're trying to feel good enough in this world. And like, as I've gotten older, like you said, it's grown, that little flicker has grown, and I pay more attention to it and I listen to it and I honor it. And I make decisions based on it instead of, you know, just feeling like I have to do whatever I need to do for people to like me or to be accepted. We're doing ourselves such a disservice not to listen to those little intuitions and little voices that tell us our boundaries.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing that I would say that I think we can talk about is, can you imagine a world when we're young children or as parents or aunts or uncles or just friends, you know, around, you know, youth, how do we get there? And I think, can you imagine if one of the first things in preschool or school around the world was talking about happiness?
Mm-hmm. I know. And as you said that, I'm kind of shocked that we don't really learn about that. Like there isn't a class we take in elementary school called How to Be Happy.
Yes. And to me, I think that's where I believe things are hopefully, you know, when we're wrapping up 2021, I was just thinking and tuning in before I had you today. I was thinking, wow, Jake and I have also, like much of us in the world, have really adapted our work-life balance schedule. And maybe you can just share a little window into your day doing telehealth and mental health, and just to tell us a little bit, you know, for those who didn't listen to the first show, a little bit about who you are and how your life has changed, not only for you, but also for your clients this year.
Yeah, sure. And I'll start by telling you that when I was a new therapist, I was pushing myself way too hard, and I would take on any client that wanted to see me, and I would lower my rates to like appease, you know, the client so that I could just make sure that I had a thriving business, and I would go to every training I thought I needed to go to. And I was burning myself out and wasn't listening to that little inner voice. But again, I thought like I needed to prove myself, or I had to prove to myself somehow that I'm successful. So I was, you know, taking on way too much, seeing way too many clients a day and in a week. And I'm, you know, you can't be present for everyone and everything if you're like, if there's too much on your plate and you're not, you know, practicing that self-care. So What I ended up sort of transitioning my career into was a small private practice, and then utilizing my past experience with marketing to launch LGBTQ Therapy Space, which is the first ever online platform for telehealth for LGBTQ clients to, you know, find an affirmative therapist in their state and be matched to them and find a therapist for online therapy. And so I'm working with other clinicians who are doing, you know, the work and doing their own work in their practice. And I'm balancing my own client work with running a business, but it's a much more in tune with who I am and what I have the capacity for to, you know, to manage. And so I'm really kind of feeling much more in my groove now.
You know what I love that I was actually, this is why I love just kind of being in this moment of flow. As I was walking in my door from dropping my son off, it's a rainy day here in Southern Cal. It feels like winter's on its way. And I was thinking, I looked at my schedule and I got the word, it's balanced. It's a balanced schedule today. And the reason for me it was balanced is I'm like, yay, I get to talk to Jake. I get to do creative. And then I'm like, woohoo, I've got new clients. And then I'm like, okay, I have time for fitness later. I'm going to get my nails. So for me, when I look at like a day-to-day, moment-to-moment, my new awareness of my neuro style is balancing creativity with some of the crisis management I'm doing on the front lines of mental health. I feel like I, you know, Tinkerbell from Disney, how like she's flying up in the air and then she swoops in and she swoops out. So I feel like in my day, I swoop into like a new referral or someone that's in crisis in mental health. And I've been doing that for so many years, kind of mastering that, but then I close it out. One of the things I do for self-care and self-awareness is moment to moment, try to be as present as I can. And when I balance my day with a certain amount of clients and a certain amount of creativity, I notice that the energy feels more balanced and I feel less frenetic, less stressed, and less anxious.
I love that you brought that up because you're right. It's not always just about the amount of something that you're doing. It's about the quality of what you're doing or the energy of what you're doing. And sometimes we need different kinds of energy throughout the day. Like we need mental health, you know, we need physical health, we need connection with other people, we need creativity. And sometimes we need just sort of basic, like mindless work throughout the day to kind of even us out. And there's so many different things that, you know, you can do to sort of feel balanced. And it's not just like taking on less hours, it's like, what are you, what kind of hours are you adding to your day?
I love it. And so I just wanted to say, I'm just smiling because I wanted to say this. Ready? Play, play, and play. So I wish, I wish when we were kids, like, and I'm doing this as an adult and child psychiatrist and producer, one of my goals is to remind people that play leads to recreation, recreate, then happiness. So how do we throughout our day, it can't be all play, but how can we have like little moments of fun or moments of inner peace? Do you want to share some of like your tips and tools being on the front lines of how you take care of you? And I'll do the same before we jump into some of the stuff we're seeing right now during the holidays.
Sure. I mean, play for me, a lot of it is playing with my dogs. I have two dachshunds that are super cute. They're actually pandemic rescues. I got them at the beginning of the pandemic because I was like, this is the perfect time to rescue dogs because I'm at home all the time. You know, our practice moved online, work from home. So it was like, here's a chance to get some little doggies. So my husband and I adopted these two little beautiful dachshunds, their brother and sister, Honey and Peanut. And we play and they're so just present and happy. And they really remind you like of what's important. Like sometimes I'll be lost in thought and worrying about some, you know, patient of mine or like some activity I have to do for the business. And then like, they just want to play and they're like, come on, like, this is what matters right now. This is what's important. And it brings me back. It pulls me back to the present moment. And I'm like, oh yeah, it is what's important. Like, you know, at the end of the day, like, does the stuff we worry about matter as much as we think it matters? Or is being happy and being present with my dogs really what's important? So that's a big thing for me. I also exercise and take walks with the dogs. And
what's your favorite fitness that you do? Like, what gets your adrenaline pumping, or what gets you in your zen zone?
I just recently kind of got back into spinning. I'd sort of dabbled in it before and never kind of like committed. And now I'm going to spinning classes every week. And like, I love just getting lost in the loud music and just going and being motivated by the teacher to kind of like push yourself and keep going. And sort of a metaphor for life, you know, like you have more resilience than you think you do, and you can push it even a little bit harder, like within your limits. And so I love that. I also go to some like HIIT classes, like high intensity interval classes, where you do a bunch of different stuff. And those are really intense, but that you feel so good after.
Well, and also I just want to wish you, looks like you had kind of a fun fall with some trips. It looks like you got out and you played and you celebrate too.
Yes. Travel is another big way that I play and try to like experience life in the world without worrying about work and stuff. And I went to Tahiti, actually, to the Tahitian Islands for my 5-year wedding anniversary with my husband in October.
Congratulations. What's your husband's name?
You. His name's Jamie.
Happy anniversary, Jamie.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So one thing that's really a part of my thrive and happiness is deeper connection. Mm-hmm. So I feel like really honored to do a deep dive with you today and really take interest. For me, it's not just how many shows. It's more like qualitatively, oh my goodness, what an honor to have Jake back on. And also, I want to have some compassion for everyone at this time of year. I think we're going to shift gears into what we do on the front lines of mental health. And I know that you and I both didn't want to have burnout, which is why we postponed doing this show till now. And I do believe that there's no coincidences that things, when we take everyone a mindful pause, listen to our inner voice, pace ourselves, sometimes the timing of what we thought should be done at another time is even better. So I'm finding that the timing of this show going right into the end of the year and, you know, being there with my patients that are feeling sad. Some people, you know how on different shows it makes it look like the perfect holiday? I think a lot of people have fantasies about what they would want for the perfect holiday, or even still a little bit upset about maybe not being able to travel for health reasons. I've got people that are trying to stay sober, people deciding to stay on earth. I've had quite a few people that have been very sad and not wanting to be here anymore. And I'm wondering if you're seeing the same, and maybe you and I could give people some tips.
I am. You know, the holidays is a mixed bag, because while it's a time to celebrate and sort of be with family or people you love, it's also like it can make you feel like a lot of expectations. And, you know, working with a lot of LGBTQ people especially, it can really kind of make them feel alone and make us feel isolated, because if it appears like most people we know are with family at Christmas or on the holidays, or, you know, doing all these exciting things, and we're not, we're at home just kind of scrolling Facebook or something, it can make you feel sad. And, you know, social media is never really, I don't think, like a good idea when you're in that state, because it's like everyone's presenting their best version of themselves and it can make you feel worse. But the holidays can be rough, and, you know, like it can make you feel more alone even than a different time of year if you are alone, just because of these expectations of like you're supposed to be doing all these like happy, merry, and joyous things. So I definitely see this as a kind of a hard time of year for a lot of people.
Yeah. And I wanted to say too that going into the holidays, I think globally, just boundaries for ourselves to stay on our fitness plan, our holistic plan, holistic health. And then I think gratitude. I always like to talk about gratitude as like a secret sauce for, like, oh, if I'm blessed to have food, shelter, clothing. Oh, what are the holidays? What does that even mean? For me, every day can be the holiday. To me, mm-hmm. You know, gratitude. I've been calling people I love, celebrating 2021. Also going into the suffering, I've been taking inventory on some different relationships that I want to keep growing in 2022 and ones that I don't want anymore. So I think you can use this time of year not only to think I might get out to see a friend or family member and celebrate Hanukkah, Christmas, New Year's, whatever holiday is your holiday, but more like a personal inventory of happiness, not just only focused on the holiday itself.
I totally agree. And I think, you know, there's a lot of different things you can do to navigate this season. And I think, you know, one of them is if you need help, ask for it. Like if you're feeling down, you can contact a therapist at LGBTQ Therapy Space or somewhere in your city. And or you can reach out to a friend that you like haven't talked to in a while. I think connecting with others instead of isolating is, you know, something to strive for to relieve holiday depression. Boundaries you mentioned, I think, is really important. Like if your neurostyle says it's too much for you to go to 3 holiday parties in a weekend, don't go. Go to 1. Or, you know, maybe you're not even feeling like you want to go to any at all. And that's okay too. Like we all have our own, you know, boundaries and our own capacity for what works for us.
Yeah. And I also know that depending on where you're at in the world, there's different seasons. And this is a time of year where there's less sunlight. And I have quite a few people in my practice that experience seasonal affective mood changes. Mm-hmm. And it can happen even in Southern Cal. I think there's some mythbusters about seasonal affective mood changes. And I have a slew of people that I recommend the light therapy. It's 10,000 lux, anywhere from 5 to 30 minutes a day. I don't know if you have clients that experience this too, because I think it's such a kind of holistic health hack that people don't talk about enough.
No, I totally agree. I think it's a big component in this time of year and why sometimes we feel down or it's easy to sort of want to like hibernate and isolate is the sunlight goes away much earlier and it can be colder. We just want to sort of like retreat into ourselves. And another tip, if you aren't able to do something like light therapy, is simply to go outside and get some sunlight more than you would otherwise, you know, normally do. Like force yourself or put it on your calendar to, you know, or an iPhone alert even, like remind yourself, get up and just walk outside for 2 minutes, like, and feel the sunshine. It can really, it does, you know, have a chemical effect on our mood.
And I like what you said about boundaries and pacing yourself. You know, not everyone's, we all have different energy experiences in the world. That's why I, you know, wanted to talk neurostyle, that we all process and perceive things. So some of us, when we go to a holiday party, we get energized and we just love being there for hours and that just fuels our soul. Some of us can only handle like 30 minutes out of a 3-hour social gathering because we all pick up on different people's fields of energy differently. So I've actually, there's been times when people have taken separate cars and using the word neurostyle, well, my style, like I love you and I want to see you, but I can only handle so much socializing and normalizing that there's nothing wrong with you that you can handle. I had one person in my practice, she was dreading her family party. And we came up with a whole solution of how to gracefully do the socially check-in. And then maybe she'd even be surprised, like be open-minded. Maybe you're going to enjoy it more than you think. Maybe you're going to want to stay longer. Maybe you want to go back up into your room. So I think when you go into any sort of, this is for the holidays and all, go into it with this open mind, but don't beat yourself up. If your neurostyle can handle less socializing, there's nothing wrong. We're introverts, we're extroverts. We all have different capacities for socializing. And also not all the people we hang out with give us the same energy reboot. Yeah. Not all relationships are created the same energetically. I don't know your thoughts on that.
I agree. And I think I'm kind of like your client. Like I want to go to a holiday party for like 3 minutes before I get overwhelmed. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is all too much. And it's loud. And there's like too many conversations happening. And sometimes it feels like pressure to talk, or it feels superficial, or it can be draining. And you know, I've heard that like one example or one definition of extrovert, it, like you said, is someone who gets energized by being with people. And then an introvert is someone whose like energy is depleted by being with people. And it's just two different ways of being in the world. And there's not a right and there's not a wrong. And it's just, you know, you have to just honor that in yourself.
Well, and I also want to, you know, the linear language is so precise. And I think there's different seasons or different moments throughout our day and throughout our life. Some of it, there's moments where I'm completely more introvert empath, but there's times when I'm show, here I go, I'm showing up, ready to socialize, but then I have to go back and retreat. So like if Saturday night I had this boat parade that I went to and I knew 2 out of the 6 people, and you know, it's the holidays. It's a lot to be meeting new people, right? I mean, I'm pretty fun, but also people wouldn't know, it still takes energy. And I thought, oh my gosh, I want to bring fun. So I asked my friend, can I bring Santa party hats? She's like, yeah, oh my God. So I showed up with like these conversation fun pieces. Like, how do we kind of, you know, take some of the social awkwardness out of things by playing, or how some people don't know how to do small talk. I heard someone at a lecture, it was so brilliant. He was in the entertainment industry, and he said that small talk was his kryptonite. And that's why he didn't like these socializing parties. I don't know if any of your clients or if you can relate to that.
Yeah, I mean, I do relate to that, actually. Like, it feels sometimes like you're putting on a performance when there's small talk. Like, you know, you're instead of thinking about, like, what do I really want to say here? You're coming up with lines almost of, like, what should you say? And anytime we use that word should, a little red flag goes off for me, like a little beep, 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 beep. Like, maybe you should look at that, because when we don't act in our authenticity and our true self, then we just feel even more depleted. So, you know, I would encourage people that feel like they're engaged in a small talk conversation to try to shift it, try to make it real. Like, what can you say in that moment that's actually true to what you're feeling right then? Even if it's like, oh, I'm really tired today, or, you know, like anything, but like try to be as real as possible. And I think like that is more energizing for me.
So I think a lot of times people are playing games, or like, I know it was really lovely to be outside and watch the boat parade. And I felt fortunate that I had a bunch of extra Santa hats. So that actually turned into a playful, fun social event. And I want to also get back to this holiday time of grief. I want to go from play and socializing to, this is a time of grief. People are suffering with living losses, people that they're estranged from. People are also getting new identities if they're accepting their different sexuality or their new life, even. I'm newly married, I'm newly an auntie. So there's like an identity, like acceptance that can go on during the holidays that can be overwhelming. So can we talk a little bit about some of the ways you help people navigate that in your practice?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think you're right. Like, we're constantly evolving and growing and learning more about ourselves and changing. And that's what makes, you know, life interesting and exciting. But at the same time, when we do evolve and grow, we're often letting go of something, or, you know, whether it be a relationship that doesn't serve us anymore in our life and moving on to new relationships, or even an identity within ourselves of like, you know, when I came out, I was a straight person identified as heterosexual, and I lost that identity as I came out as gay. And there's sort of a mourning that happens with that, with change. And so in my practice, what I do is make space for all of that. And we really need to bring all of those emotions and feelings forward and put voice to them and share them with a therapist or someone that we trust. And explore and be able to honor both the exciting, happy feelings about, you know, something new or a new identity, but also the loss and sadness around letting something go.
Yeah. So can you give some tips, some Ask Jake tips regarding what you're hearing a lot about coaching people? Maybe it's their first holiday season as gay or bisexual or transgender or pan, or, and also just, there's different, everyone's coming out process is unique. And also you have to know your audience of who you're deciding to share that with. So can you give some top tips that you see around this time that are coming up in your practice?
Sure. Yeah. And I do have an advice column on queerdy.com, which is called Ask Jake, where I do get actual questions from people in the LGBTQ community, and I answer them on there. And so a lot does come up around the holidays. And I think some of the advice that I give is, I think you sort of alluded to one of them, but is find the right person that you feel comfortable sharing your true feelings with or your true self with. Like, you don't have to come out to everybody at once. You don't have to, you know, put a big sign up and hang it up and say, I'm gay or whatever. You can find someone that feels comfortable for you first, and then have that person as an ally. And then you feel a little bit stronger about yourself. And then you might think of who's the next person. And there's no order that has to be done. There's no timing that has to be done. It's all what feels right for you. And then, you know, also around the holidays is like, you know, a lot of us as LGBTQ people come from families that didn't accept us at first, or there might be some toxicity even in the family. And that's, you know, goes beyond LGBTQ people. But so boundaries, setting those boundaries for yourself. Like, if you feel like you staying at your parents' house is going to be too triggering because there's going to be little jabs, little snarky comments, little digs, like, that's toxic and that's not good for your mental health and for your self-worth. So maybe make a decision to stay in a hotel and go to the house for an hour or two, or, you know, have your own car, even if it means renting a car, so that you can get out and like get some fresh air and be refuel. You don't have to lose yourself in the holidays or lose yourself in your family of origin.
I love that. And the tips, when I was listening, you know, these broaden out to people who have differing beliefs politically, differing beliefs about the pandemic, immunizations. So I think a lot of people, it's almost like this is a hot topic year going into the holidays, where there's like new variants coming out and we're always dun, 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 the news, right? And so this advice about knowing your audience goes back to knowing yourself, self-love, the awareness, the self-love and the self-care. And I want to also give people hope that, and I'll put this in the link, that there is help out there. Sometimes people have been suffering with depression or anxiety or mood symptoms that just are at an all-time high of loneliness. And you talked about this earlier in the show, but I will put not only your referral for your amazing platform, but also the suicide prevention line. And remember too, that people, you can call your primary care doctor, your emergency room, and you can find great therapists. They have therapy on sliding scales. There's help out there. Sometimes I think people get so desperate that they forget that they're really not alone, that there's help.
Yeah. Or they feel this responsibility to carry all that weight on their shoulders. And we don't have to, like, we don't live in a world by ourselves. Like, we can give some of that weight over to somebody else to carry for a little while, even if it's temporarily, you know, like we shouldn't have to carry all of that weight.
So now we kind of went a little bit serious. Let's go back to kind of the reality of the holidays. People, you know, might have different health nutrition plans or fitness. And I like to talk about adaptive perfectionism versus restrictive, and that the thoughts, words, and actions and behaviors that we choose affect our material DNA, our epigenetics, to turn things on or off. So I think another part of the holidays is there might be different food choices, different beverages, and sometimes we can indulge. And I want to just hear maybe from you how you help people to kind of be gentle with themselves to stay on their unique self-care wellness plan.
Sure. Yeah. Well, one thing that I do is when somebody mentions New Year's resolutions, I say, why don't we look at that word for a minute and maybe let's alter that word. Resolutions implies to me like it's you're determined, you have to succeed and make that goal, like, and there's no wiggle room, there's no softness there, there's no sort of like being gentle with yourself when you set a New Year's resolution, is because often what it can do is set you up for failure. So, you know, if you make a resolution to work out 4 times a week and then you only work out 3 times a week, you feel like, oh, I failed. Like, what's the point? I'm just going to give up this year. But so I like to think of it as like New Year's intentions. Yes. Where we're going to have an intention to be good to ourselves in whatever ways. And that gives it flexibility. Like, you don't have to be in these like boundaries of what that means to be successful. Like, you get to decide, just like moving in the right direction without having to, you know, pass or fail, so to speak.
So the other thing about that, and I love that, is that adaptive, that when we make 80 to 90% of the time good choices with food, nutrition, the people we hang out with, that's optimal health. So it really piggybacks off the idea of paying attention to what we set, the positive self-talk. What Jake just did in real time is have us look at the word resolution versus intention, or resolution versus manifestation. So when you're saying different words and having an awareness of your own unique self-talk, try out words. Like, I don't like, just so you know, Jake, you'll never see me writing hashtag mental illness. If I do it, it's very rare. And I also, I'm not afraid, you know, I'm on the front lines, you know, and I want to just do a sacred pause, because a lot of people are feeling like it's just too hard to be here on earth. So I, as a doctor on the front lines, I often say, oh my goodness, I'm so grateful that people chose to stay on earth. I don't use the word suicide all the time either, because I'm not saying I don't know that that's real. I know it's very real. I'm on the front lines. Mm-hmm. But there's different words, thoughts, and actions that carry a vibrational frequency. Same thing with the shows we watch, the television, the media. So our words and our intentions carry power and energy. And that's one of the things I'm really passionate about, people realizing that. It sounds like you are too, when you said, let's break down the word resolution.
Yeah, I really love that. And, you know, another one that I alluded to earlier, but really has a lot of weight, is when you say to yourself, God, I really should go to the gym today. When I hear that word should, it implies like, there's this place I'm supposed to be that, like,
can I go, can ready, done, dun, 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 punishment.
Yeah.
Punishment. Jake, you should go to the gym.
Exactly. So when I hear a client say that word, I say, okay, there's that little red flag word should, right? Like, we know what that means. It means maybe it's not something you really want to do. You just feel like you're supposed to do it. And let's look at that. And like, if you really want to do it, then great. I encourage you to move forward. But if you're doing it only because you think you should, then maybe you're not really like honoring your true feelings.
Well, you know what I love though about that? Because words are so fun and playful. Like, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I have my neuro style with cleaning is that once I start going, I do great, but sometimes I let it all pile up. So I, instead of saying you should do the dishes, I told myself, wow, you're so blessed to do the dishes today. You're a domestic diva. I turned it into this fun thing, knowing that I really don't, because I know the power of words, thoughts, and energy. And also the idea of going to the gym is a privilege. If you have the energy and you want to shift it to, wait a second though, I know I always feel like this, but once I go, I feel great. That happened to me last night. I got a sneaky swim in late at 9:55 PM. I pulled into my parking lot at my complex. The gate shuts at 10. You get locked out. Okay. And I sneak in and the guard knows I don't make noise. So I did, I made it. I had a really intense day and I kept going. It was 9:45. I'm like, okay, I did sort of first think, well, you really should. But I'm like, no, but you want to go. So I took that kind of like the words crisis, stabilization, thrive. The word should's more of a crisis, red alert, rigid, punishment. And it's okay to say that word. But then I was aware, I watched the word, then I remembered how I feel. Even if I just went to the pool, or even if you walk into the gym, or even if you walk for 5 to 10 minutes, you're giving yourself kind of like a break into holistic health and wellness. And it's okay to have mixed feelings of enjoying it, but also dreading it. And I think sometimes the linear language is so precise, it doesn't allow us to play with words, thoughts, and actions in a more kind of fun way.
I love that. And another example I think is, I catch myself doing this a lot of saying like, oh, I have to go to this meeting. And my husband will correct me and go, you have to go or you get to go. And it's like, it was like the first time he said that, it was like this eye opening, like, wow, like he's right. Like I'm healthy and I'm able to walk and I'm able to drive and I have a job. Like I get to go to this meeting. And just flipping that word have to and get to Because ultimately it is my choice, right? I don't have to go to the meeting, but I'm going because it's in my best interest and I'm doing it for me and my job or whatever. So I get to go to this meeting or I get to go to this holiday party instead of I have to. It shifts it all into gratitude, which, you know, it ties back into that, which is so important in changing how we feel.
So thank you. And I love that Jamie did that. He's like, Jake, remember, it's an honor, Jake. And that's what's so fun too. When we hang out with a tribe, I think this is really important too. When we're thinking about also what creates happiness and self-care, it's attracting people that have the heart and mind wisdom that's like really like motivating, and they help us when we're kind of going through our moments. And, you know, I also think it's important, you know, you're an expert in your field, as am I, but I like to always be vulnerable and kind of know your neurostyle and know your own genetics too, going into any time of year in the holidays. My father, I was very fortunate that he chose to get sober when I was 11. And so I purposely just social drink when I'm out. This is like kind of a hack around the holidays. I think sometimes people might indulge in more food or more substances. And so I know my genetics and how to have optimal health. I put the energy of knowing like some of my kind of creativity into maybe getting addicted to like getting more done for the project or getting more into my fitness. And then like, I really enjoy that cocktail when I'm out. But then I don't need to have a bunch of alcohol in the home. And I know that some people, they just can't even drink at all. And some people are sober. So I think this time of year, also giving people tips and tools how to talk about that. Do you find that people that are trying to stay sober or maybe just know their genetics of health? Because like, I know there's certain people that I know that just, I don't want to be judgmental, but there's some people that are just on what I would call like the drinking circuit here in Manhattan Beach, where tons of alcohol is always involved. And I don't want to, I think they know their own limits, but I have to socialize and do different things that honor my neurostyle. And I'm not saying I never indulge, because I do, but I just want to say that people just don't even know how to talk about that at the holidays.
It's so funny that you brought this up as the next topic, because I was like literally thinking like, oh, you know what? A big piece of the holidays for a lot of people is drinking and imbibing and overusing and like checking out, because it's stressful. And so we're totally on the same page. I think that it's a huge, you know, issue for a lot of people. And it's not, there's no one size fits all for everybody, you know, like hence neurostyle. Like we all have different capacities for alcohol, for other drugs. For some people can smoke pot and that's not a big deal for them. They don't feel addicted to it, helps them relax. But I think what's important is just notice like what your triggers are. Like if you find yourself drinking or using more during a specific time, or like if there's something that, you know, if you're finding that you're doing it a lot socially, then maybe there's some social anxiety that's not really being dealt with. Or if you're alone and you're dealing it, maybe you're drinking a lot when you're alone, then maybe there's some loneliness there that you're kind of trying to avoid. So I think looking at like the patterns, but not shaming ourselves or trying to fit into like a one size fits all kind of, you know, answer as to how much we should imbibe is important. Just like be curious about your patterns of drinking and using.
Well, and the funny thing is I remember way back when I lived in Atlanta, I had the coolest hairstylist, Trent, and we would always finish off my hair appointment with like disco music, a little bit of wine. It was awesome. And I remember him saying, have you ever tried ecstasy? Or have you ever, I'm like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Do you know how much fun I am sober? I'm like, and then, by the way, for anyone that's tried ecstasy or anything they've tried, I'm not judging, but I used it as a conversation piece of, I know my genetics. I know my father got sober. I've already got those like wild genetics. I remember my father telling me when I went off to college, now, Denise, you've got a lot of gifts that God gave you. Make sure you use them wisely and make sure to know when to put the brakes on it. And that was the most profound self-care, self-love moment. And I think it was a very non-shaming. And I think going into the holidays, and like we started out the show with you and I were gentle on ourselves when we, this is our third time, like third time's a charm. Like you and I were like, that's what I also, I just want to say thank you, Jake, that you felt like we've already established this level of comfort of, oh yeah, 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 yeah. Self-care rocks. Yeah, please. Let's do this when we can.
Yeah. It's so important because we're not going to be, if we're, you know, if, as RuPaul says in every episode of Drag Race, which is one of my favorite reality shows, it's so fun to watch the drag queens and the different competitions and everything. But she says at the end of each episode, if you can't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love somebody else? Can I get an amen in here? And they all say amen. And it's so like simple, but true. Like if we're not honoring what's right for us, then we can't really be our best self to other people. Like if I had done this interview on that day where I wasn't feeling it, I probably wouldn't have even really made as much sense on what I'm saying. I wouldn't have really been as creative in what I'm thinking about. So we're doing other people a service by doing ourselves a service.
Right. So I think right here as we're ending, let's just wrap up with the tips and tools of the show. I think Jake and I both believe in awareness, self-love, and self-care. And I'm going to start with some and then you can tag off me. Making sure if you are in crisis with deeper depression or anxiety that you reach out to a therapist, your doctor, a spiritual leader, a dear friend. Don't feel like you're alone. Try to 80 to 90% of the time make good choices with holistic health, with your nutrition, fitness, substance use or non-use. Keep on a great sleep schedule. And then maybe, Jake, you can go over some tips and tools about boundaries going in and also just talking to people during the holidays.
Sure. I think, listen to your feelings. If the thought of going home and being with your family makes you feel anxious and makes you feel sad or makes you feel angry, pay attention to that and limit your contact with them. You know, you can advocate for yourself. You can say, I'm actually going to be staying at a hotel, or I'm only going to come for a few hours, or respond to invitations that make you feel excited or happy to go to rather than anxious or sad. It's always important to honor yourself and your true feelings. And I really think that, you know, I'm an advocate for therapy. I think it's so important to talk to someone else who's objective and, you know, flush this stuff out, and they can help you, you know, put a plan of action in place for the holidays. Obviously, you know, if you're in the LGBTQ community, then I recommend checking out LGBTQ Therapy Space. We're live in 9 states right now, including California. Yay! You can have a free consultation to find the right match for you, and then you're off and running. Or, you know, if you need something that's more of a lower rate, there's your local counseling centers. There's a local LGBTQ centers in a lot of different cities. Los Angeles has a great one for mental health services. So really encourage people to reach out to those various support networks.
And, you know, I just was, thank you for all that. And I was thinking we've covered, the core ingredients for mental, physical, and spiritual awareness and self-love. But then if we're fortunate and blessed enough to be in our own good space, giving back through a smile, you can donate money to help with meals. Jake, I want to thank you. All the love and effort I know from putting yourself out there in the universe, because I'm doing it too. Like the love that you're putting out through your Ask Jake column, your desire to promote love of all kind and self-love. I notice all the stuff you're doing, and I just want to just thank you for the way you're in service. I think one way to have the best holiday season is to remember we're not alone, and any act that we do or any deed of kindness does not go unnoticed. So I want to just thank you again for taking the time to come on the show and to give all these great tips and for all you're doing to help others at this time of year.
Oh, thank you. And I'm just so glad that our orbits connected and we came into each other's lives and can help each other to get our messages out there, because, you know, it's all about love, really, and loving ourselves and others. So what's bad about that?
It's awesome. Yeah. Okay, Jake, well, happy holidays to you. Let everyone know where we can find you.
Definitely. You can check me out. Go to LGBTQtherapyspace.com and see if we're live in your state and find a therapist for a consultation. You can also find us on Instagram at LGBTQtherapyspace or Facebook. And then my personal Instagram is Jake Myers, M-Y-E-R-S, 2001. Feel free to ask me any questions, and I like to answer everyone individually.
Thank you, and thank you, everyone. We're sending you lots of love and happiness for this holiday season, and also, you're not alone. We love you.
Happy holidays.